Welcome to Cooking the Books. I'm Frances Cook, Investments Editor for Business Desk. When you think about investing into property, you probably think about buying a house, renting it to someone, and acting as a landlord. But an area that's often overlooked is commercial property, such as shops or office buildings. They're more expensive, but become achievable for the everyday investor when they're part of something like a fund. Just like investing in shares, you pool your money with other investors and then get a slice of the profits. But with the work-from-home revolution, insurance costs going up, and interest rates still high, is commercial property still the cash cow it once was? Just a note before we dive in. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet. I'm joined now by Scott McKenzie, CEO of PMG Funds. Hey, thanks for coming on, because as we were just chatting a wee bit before I flicked the mics on, there are some interesting things happening in commercial property right now, and that's an area that I think New Zealanders sometimes neglect a little. We're a little obsessed with residential property, but commercial property does things that are just as interesting. What are the trends at the moment right now? Are there any particular property types that are running hot or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Francis. Nice to be on as well. Yes, there is quite a number of trends playing out in commercial real estate at the moment. So, you know, it's worthwhile just pointing out, obviously, you know, a lot of sectors in the economy are under a bit of headwind pressure at the moment, and commercial real estate's no different to that. And so we were seeing what's playing out, the way we use commercial real estate is changing as occupiers. So, you know, there's this now steady flight to quality as a systemic changing trend in real estate. So office users or businesses are now looking for high quality office space to use, which typically need to be closer to public amenities and transport links, really principally to ensure that they provide great space for their staff to help enhance well-being. There's also quite a trend in the industrial space for occupiers moving to high-quality space. And a given read at JLL head of research the other day pointed out that industrial warehousing's 20 years ago is very different to what it is today. Essentially, businesses are now asking for high-quality warehouse offerings, building in well-being for their staff to present themselves and their businesses in a stronger fashion to their customers and ensure that they retain their staff as well. So these trends are playing around this move to quality, and that's really something that we've been watching quite closely. And it means that managers and owners of real estate need to think about what some of these trends are and how they're playing out and how we position our offerings, our buildings, and what we invest in the future to ensure that we accommodate some of those trends as well. So if you think about a few sectors that are running fairly hot at the moment, so the industrial sector has been certainly a darling child of the commercial property sector for many years now. There's a number of systemic reasons for that. The onshoring of manufacturing or holding goods, being closer to market so we can continue to supply more readily to our customers. And certainly that prime, more A-grade industrial warehousing has been very well sought after and continues to be well sought after by investors and occupiers in the market. An area we're interested in is this sort of more secondary industrial, where when I mean secondary, I'm talking about prime by location, but perhaps secondary by offering. And so what's happened is industrial rents have grown quite rapidly over a space of time with very low vacancy and limited options for occupiers. And so we have this phenomenon. We have essentially market rents quite a bit higher than what's currently contracted on those industrial properties. And so we see value there. We see opportunity to be able to participate and grow value for investors in that space. The other area which perhaps is interesting to us is the office sector. If you think globally, the office market is actually under a bit of pressure at the moment. And, you know, look at the US and European office market. we've got sort of higher vacancy. That systemic trend of work from home has played out quite a bit, more so than the Asia Pacific area. So we've got the structural shift, which has influenced the way businesses are using office space over there, and more vacancy. So San Francisco, for example, is now sitting on about 20% vacancy. So we've got these institutional investors that are now more motivated to sell, less keen on office real estate as a sector, and particularly in the Americas and Europe. And that's quite a contrast to where we are here in the Asia Pacific region, you know, Singapore, Sydney, Australia, you know, and New Zealand, where typically that trend hasn't played out to the extent. We've still got a lot of people coming into our office environment. And so as a result, firms haven't been shedding space to that same degree. We have got lower vacancy. And so our sense is actually with this trend of institutional investors having less of a desire towards the office market, particularly in the Americas and Europe, that lack of liquidity is actually having an undue influence of value in the office market here in New Zealand. And so we see value in that. We can actually buy better now than we could have in the past at what we consider as good value. Perhaps it's considered oversold a little bit. So two areas that we think are interesting in the office commercial property market at the moment.
That is really interesting when you say about the office market, because there has been so much talk about the work from home revolution and if the office is dead or if it's all now about hot desking and hybrid working, that would still, you know, reduce the need for those commercial office spaces. And yet, of course, you're saying that you think maybe this could be an opportunity to buy in. So are you thinking that maybe this dip in office space, that could be a short-term trend? What do you reckon?
Absolutely. And we use our own office. We've got an office fund. Our own portfolio is 99% occupied at the moment. Businesses haven't certainly downscaled to the extent. Yes, the way we use office real estate is evolving and changing. So, you know, now we are seeing occupiers, businesses saying we need to have high quality space. So I spoke earlier about the move or the need to move to higher quality offering, more sort of fit for purpose fit outs with sustainability features, buildings or offices that are surrounded by good amenity, end of trip facilities, creating great environments for employees to want to come from the work from home environment back into the office environment. And firms are actively doing this to not only retain talent, but to attract new talent to their businesses and attract people from that work from home environment back into the office. And for that reason, it's very much around how do we foster connectivity, collaboration, creativity, and build culture within the business, which through the pandemic, some of that's been lost through some of that remote working. And so that becomes very important. As humans, we're very innately social creatures, and having an office environment that cares about and provides for well-being for our staff makes a big difference to productivity and how we go about it. You know, so we're seeing more of that trend now. Office usage, in our view, will continue to grow over the next 6 to 12 months. All the research and surveys are suggesting that as well. CBRE recently did a piece of sentiment survey to occupiers, and that's suggesting, yes, we will see more and more people come back to the office. We are landing on this hybrid working environment where still there is productivity to be working from home for maybe 2 days a week. But firms are certainly actively encouraging staff to come back into the office for those reasons that I spoke about earlier. And we're seeing large global firms now saying, actually, you know, big tech businesses that said, listen, work from home, and they are encouraging their staff back into the office. Zoom is a good example of that. The CEO, Eric Yuan, wrote to a staff the other day saying, listen, I need you back in the office. We're losing the connectivity as a business.
Which is so interesting from Zoom.
Absolutely, yeah. So to me, that typifies the trend back to the office. So we do see a really good future for office. The key being as an investor or an owner of office property, ensuring that your offering is going to meet those demands for high quality space of the occupier of tomorrow, and repositioning your space if it doesn't, readily to ensure that it does. And so that remains our focus.
We'll be right back after the break. And we're back. And it's really interesting because I know a lot of the people who listen to this podcast, a lot of them are people obviously who are interested in money, but a lot of them also are people who like to invest. whether that is through a platform, whether it's through an advisor, whether it's through a fund manager, they like to invest often in ETFs and funds. And a lot of people send me those messages. And one of the great things about that system is you can end up being a property investor for often very small amounts of money, because you can invest through a fund, get exposure to all of these interesting areas. And commercial property, if you try to do it by yourself, often quite expensive. But I strongly believe it's been an underrated sector for New Zealand investors. We hear property, we think houses. Whereas commercial property, often the numbers on it look way better as an investor. And if you're going through a fund, or you're even just thinking, you know, listed property, are there different tactics and considerations when you are looking at it as part of a fund that has probably multiple investments? And as you say, you've mentioned different countries there that you might be interested in having exposure to. What are the tactics for that versus someone who might, you know, be a bit more loaded and be investing directly in commercial real estate?
Yeah, and there's certainly no right or wrong answer there. That, you know, might be typified by your own individual investment strategy and what exposure you have to other asset classes, and you can take advice on that. But certainly, and to your point earlier, commercial property seems expensive. That's probably not the reality. Is actually commercial property provides good value relative on a yield basis to, for example, residential property, which typically yields lower. What commercial property does, though, is it is a higher ticket price item, so larger buildings, higher value. And so for an individual to invest in a commercial property themselves, that becomes more challenging. As you say, you need a larger checkbook to be able to achieve that. And so a lot of people now have moved into investing in a share or units in funds, unlisted funds or listed property, to gain access to directly held real estate through the benefit of having a professional manager looking after their investment. If you're going to invest yourself and you had a large checkbook, absolutely, that's a good way to do things. But you do need a reasonable level of understanding in the commercial real estate market to manage customer relationships, tenant relationships, managing lease arrangements, facilities management, sustainability, reporting to your bank, to your insurance company, and complying with all the legislation associated with that. Building warrant of fitness is, for example, within commercial real estate. And the challenge you have, to your point around diversification, Francis, is if you're investing in one commercial property, you typically got one or small number of tenants within the building. And if that one or two tenants were to find themselves in challenging times and not be there, it's quite a big impact to your cash flow and therefore the value to your property. If you then contrast that with investing in a fund structure, the advantage there is you're investing in a multiple or diversified set of properties across different geographies, different sectors of the market, and ultimately multiple tenants. And so if one of those tenants came into problems and couldn't pay its rent, for example, it becomes more of a drop in the ocean, and that spread of risk and more consistent cash return is important. So funds absolutely have their place, professionally managed, and typically the managers are motivated for the same reasons. They're invested in the funds. Their fee structures are set up to ensure that they continue to manage well and ensure the funds perform as best they can. A lot of ways to get access to commercial real estate. There's no right or wrong, but certainly there's easy ways to access through funds at lower investment values and, you know, participate in the benefits of commercial real estate.
What do you think makes a good balanced fund? When you're putting it together and you're thinking, okay, we want to have a really nice commercial property fund here that gives people, obviously, money back in the pocket, whole point of investing, but, you know, a good exposure to risk and to hopefully getting some growth in there, maybe getting some income coming through. What are you looking for when you're putting it together? What makes a good fund?
It's a great question. And it does come to the construct and the strategy of that particular investment fund from the outset. So we have, you know, through PMG, four retail funds, which we're a licensed manager. And so retail funds typically are more focused on sustained regular cash flow to investors. The majority of our clients will invest with us because through a diversified fund, we can generate a fairly predictable, sustained cash flow investment return to them, which is paid monthly. Now, the other overlay there is actually as a what we call an active asset manager. So we roll up our sleeves and we go to work on the portfolio and ensure A, it remains full and so our tenants stay with us, but B, look at ways to continue to enhance or grow the value within that portfolio. That might be by extending a building, developing or leveraging unused development rights we have on various properties across the country to create more value and ultimately grow more value for our clients over time. So there's a number of ways and strategies funds can continue to drive value for investors. For us, predominantly, it's around steady cash flow and using our skills to create and grow value over the long term. Either way, you are dealing with an innate land and building object, and so we are very much and have a long-term investment horizon. And that is a key component when people are investing in property of any type, particularly commercial properties, to take that long-term investment view.
Something as well, you know, as we're talking about the long-term view, I mean, something that seems to be having a really big impact and could well continue having a big impact for quite a while is inflation. Of course, the cost of living going up is not just impacting you and I when we head to the supermarket. Businesses are also facing increased costs, and that can make it more difficult for them to pay their rent and whatever else. Interest rates also, you know, if there was debt used to purchase the property, then that might be considerably more expensive now. So how are these issues impacting commercial property?
Yeah, and certainly commercial real estate market is not immune to the headwinds of increasing interest rates and high inflationary environments. That being said, you know, from a bigger picture perspective, actually as a sector, commercial real estate is actually in a really good space at the moment. So if you think back in time, we look back in history to see to help inform the future. 1987 share market crash, the Asian financial crisis, 97-98. Vacancy in the commercial real estate market across New Zealand was really high, so 15% or more. And so we went into some periods of economic challenge where the market cycle down dip with real estate in a less resilient space than we are today. If we look at today, we have quite low levels of vacancy across most sectors of the industrial property market. And so we actually have got a high level of resilience of income. Businesses, as a rule across the country, yes, we're facing into some challenges around increasing costs and margin pressure. But if I look at our own debtors ledger, actually, it's in pretty good shape. So businesses are, whilst there are some headwinds, trading fairly well at the moment. And there's other, there's obvious sectors that are finding it more difficult than some, and we need to acknowledge that as well. But overlay that with less new supply coming into the market of commercial real estate as well. So we're building less new supply. And that's principally because, A, the cost of construction, its confidence around where and what uncertainty we're leaning into over the next little while. So all that does essentially helps underpin inherent value and ultimately rents for existing real estate. So commercial real estate's in a good space. Our view is that actually this environment and every market environment, and I think Warren Buffett once carded, don't never waste a downturn. There's an opportunity, a buying opportunity here at the moment. So we're seeing value adjustments in commercial real estate as well as many other asset classes. That represents an opportunity if you're taking a glass half full approach to actually invest in quality commercial real estate to gain access to good real estate that you couldn't have otherwise accessed at the same value even 12 or 18 months ago. So being proactive around investing well now can help cost average your portfolio and improve returns to investors over time.
Are there any areas that you wouldn't touch with a barge pole right now?
And that's about eyes wide open where you're investing. We stick to some very sort of solid fundamentals when investing in real estate. Location's obviously critical. We don't think about the tenants today. Who is our future occupier of that site? And what is the market shift or trends doing to that? What's the population movement? Is it close to arterial transit links? Stick to sort of larger main metropolitan centres and regional centres of New Zealand. Certainly at the moment, we're less invested in hospitality and strip retail. You look at some of the regional centres of New Zealand and particularly the CBDs are struggling a little bit. And yeah, there is some value challenges there and return challenges. We try and stick to specific sectors that we know will continue to endure for the longer term, office, industrial, large format retail, early childhood education sector, for example.
We'll be right back after the break. And we're back. You mentioned there about, you know, some of the various spots around New Zealand. It's interesting because I checked out some stats before our conversation, and the commercial property rents seem to be a little bit all over the place, if we're totally honest. I mean, I saw that commercial property rents seem to be going up in Auckland. Not so much Wellington, seems to be flattening out a bit there. It's all over the show, depending on where you are. Do you see an overall trend on rents for commercial property? And also, how does that impact your investing strategy, if it does at all?
The answer to the second part of your question is yes, it does impact our investment strategy. Ultimately, the philosophy is you want to see and grow income over time and have the ability to do that. So that's relevant. High level rents have been growing across most sectors for some time now. And yeah, the inflation is a big challenge for every sector, and commercial real estate has been a very good hedge to inflation because we've seen consistent growth in rents, which help hedge against the impacts to inflation over time. To look specifically at rents across the country, they will vary depending on the cost of land and the offering and the market itself. And that's all relative to the price that you enter that market in. Auckland, for example, industrial vacancy has actually increased slightly, but it's come from an incredibly low base. So at the end of last year, we're at 0.06% vacancy for prime industrial. We've seen rents increase steadily, in fact, over the last 12 months, a 12% increase in industrial rents on average. Now, CBRE have done some work on that, and they believe that's going to moderate slightly for the next 5 years, closer to 5%. And that makes sense to be more sustainable given the environment we're in. If we then look at Wellington, for example, now Wellington's a geographically constrained city, so it's a pretty compact city, and it is hard to build new supply, for example, industrial in the market. So we have very low vacancy there at the moment. And rents have consistently lifted for industrial warehousing in Wellington. That being said, operating costs in Wellington are rising. And so we have rates going up, but particularly insurance. Insurance premiums in Wellington are probably 300% higher than other parts of the region. And so the total occupancy cost or total costs for occupiers down there, businesses down there, is higher. And so that has a moderating effect in the gross of rents. Now, it's still a good business case to invest down there, but you just need to be cognizant of where rent growth is likely to go over the next little while, which is probably a bit more subdued than maybe the Auckland market because of some of those cost pressures.
Yeah, and it's so interesting on those points, because I think a lot of people, their exposure to property investment, whether or not they are actually investing in it, a lot of the exposure to ideas of property investment will be from residential. And I think probably it's a quite different sector from commercial. If someone was listening to this and they'd, you know, mostly thought of property as investing in residential, renting it out to people who are living there, would you say there are main differences between the commercial property strategy versus residential?
I have to be careful what I say. Residential, and there's absolutely a valid sector to be investing in. And the strategy for residential is you typically have a lower cash yield and have a reliance on the growth and capital value over time. You know, that's sort of the residential strategy. And when I say it's valid, we're providing healthy, warm homes for people across New Zealand. So that's important. Commercial, larger value items and typically assessed in a slightly different way. Return or cash yields are important. And the way you go about managing and looking after that real estate remains important as well. So there are some quite contrasting differences. They're both complementary in terms of an overall portfolio. But very different in terms of strategy as to why you would invest each of those sectors. Commercial real estate, very much for a perhaps slightly higher cash return. And if you look at total returns over time, probably stronger in the ability to create more value through actively repositioning leases, the properties, or adding value to the buildings themselves.
Yeah, and some really good points there. You mentioned before as well about insurance issues and how that can impact things. And I think I'd just like to touch on that a bit more as well, because we have seen the insurance sector changing recently, where some insurers have really pulled back from properties quicker than people were expecting. There's been a lot of talk that the insurance sector is going to change as climate change impacts come through. And it's happened, I think, a little faster than people expected, particularly after some of the severe weather events we had this year. We have had insurance companies withdrawing from more property types than were expected. So when you're looking at the sector, is that something that you factor in, you know, whether it's a beachfront property or in an area that could get hit by cyclones, is that factoring into your investment strategy as well?
Great question. And the answer, yes, absolutely. Yeah, climate resilience is becoming more front of mind for many, certainly driven by the insurance sector. Insurance companies have got a real challenge. You look at the Hawke's Bay and the unfortunate events that played out with Gabrielle and the pressure that's put on some insurance companies to ultimately recover costs and time. And so capacity in the market is and becoming more constrained. That influences your investment strategy to our earlier point. If you're investing in one property in one location, let's call it Wellington, your insurance premiums are going to be fairly rich if you can get insurance at all. If you're in a fund scenario and you have a portfolio of properties across the country, some in Wellington but some elsewhere in a less seismically prone environment, then your insurance premiums are going to be more moderated, cost averaged essentially. And so you can gain insurance for your real estate portfolio at a more cost-effective premium or value essentially. So your investment strategy does have to take into account regions, risk, climate risk, seismic risk, and balance all those factors to maintain a reasonable level of cost so you can generate sustained returns on an enduring basis.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's like that old thing, people love property because it's physical, you can touch it, you can see it, and yet there are also downsides to that where there can also be physical impacts on your property and things like maintenance, and you have to take that into consideration, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a real estate, buildings are a depreciating asset in a lot of ways, so you have to continue to invest to improve. And with the inflationary environment, that's to my point around inflation hedging. Actually, today, it costs quite a bit more to build the same building that is currently valued at today. And so ultimately, that's a natural underpin of inherent value for land, bricks and mortar over time. And so that's why you see, you know, high net worth, ultra net worth people invested in commercial real estate, because it stores wealth and indexes well to inflation over time. Yes, you need to be very careful where you're invested and how you manage your real estate. But over the long term, it will continue to look after you.
And yeah, what do you make of that? Do you ever invest in new builds, in development, or do you prefer to look for existing buildings?
As a business, we have been building or partnering. We don't typically try and take the development risk, so we'll partner with developers that might take that design and delivery risk. Our interest is ultimately performing real estate that works well for the fund in the sense of the mix of the portfolio and can generate sustained returns for our clients. But yes, we do actively extend or build new buildings within the portfolio, and that's part of that increasing or value-adding strategy in each of our funds.
Yeah. And is it one of the things that you're looking for? I mean, you said before that one of the big things that you can offer clients is that income flow. Are you always looking for that sort of the good cash flow? Do you get a good return from rent rather than future sales?
And that's the beauty of having a larger portfolio or a fund. So 90% of that fund might be more prescribed or predisposed to generating sustained income on a regular basis. But you might have a portion of your fund, which we do in our funds, that has the potential to either grow value through some active asset management or grow income. And that might be by an older building, either repositioning it or extending it or knocking it over and repositioning it to highest and best use of something else. And so that's where you can generate additional value in a portfolio while still maintaining a consistent return to investors, because you've got a larger portfolio diversified across different property types that are more vanilla or can generate income in that 10% case.
Love it. It's such an interesting area. Hey, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. That's Scott McKenzie, CEO of PMG Funds. Now, if you have questions about this or anything else to do with money, do get in touch with me. We can also do future podcasts on things. It is sometimes hard for me to get back to every question individually, but I do try to include it in podcasts where possible. So send them through. You can find me Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Frances Cook NZ. Also, heaps more money content on there for you. Don't forget to subscribe to Cooking the Books everywhere you find podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Until next time, have a great day.